Hello, this is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service with reports and analysis from across the world. The latest news 7 days a week. BBC World Service podcasts are supported by advertising.
This is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service. I'm Andrew Peach. This is a special edition of Global News on the Brexit debate in the British Parliament. And what was supposed to be the day of decision turned into a damp squib. Rather than endorsing or rejecting Boris Johnson's deal for Britain to leave the European Union, MPs voted for further delay.
The ayes to the right, 322. The noes to the left, 306.
The Prime Minister is now required to seek an extension.
I will not negotiate a delay with the EU. And neither.
And there's fresh confusion about what happens next. Also in this podcast, large crowds have marched through London to protest against Brexit, and we go to a place in England where public opinion mirrors the 2016 referendum result. What do people there think? First, it was billed by the British government as a day when the deadlock over Brexit could finally be broken. MPs were due to vote on the latest deal with the European Union, unveiled 2 days ago by the Prime Minister Boris Johnson. They gathered for a special session in the House of Commons, the first sitting on a Saturday for 37 years. But then the vote didn't happen. Instead, the process seems to be heading for further uncertainty. And that's because MPs backed an amendment intended to force Mr Johnson to delay Brexit.
The ayes to the right, 322. The noes to the left, 306.
Thank you.
The ayes to the right, 322. The noes to the left, 306. So the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Unlock!
Now, that vote didn't appear to deter Mr Johnson, who said he'd try to avoid a delay by putting his deal to MPs on Monday.
I will not negotiate a delay with the EU. And neither. And neither does the law compel me to do so. I will tell our friends and colleagues in the EU exactly what I've told everyone in the last 88 days that I've served as Prime Minister, that further delay would be bad for this country, bad for our European Union, and bad for democracy. So next week, the government will introduce the legislation needed for us to leave the EU with our new deal on October the 31st. And I hope that our European Union colleagues and friends will not be attracted, as benches opposite are, or rather I should say the front bench is, by delay. I don't think that they will be attracted by delay. And I hope that then, honourable members, faced with a choice of our new deal for the UK and the European Union, will change their minds, because it was pretty close today. I hope that they will change their minds and support this deal in overwhelming numbers.
But the leader of the opposition, Labour Party Jeremy Corbyn, said Parliament had clearly voted to stop Britain from crashing out of the EU without a deal, and Boris Johnson couldn't disregard that decision.
The Prime Minister must now comply with the law. He can no longer use the threat of a no-deal crash-out to blackmail members to support his sell-out deal. Labour is not prepared to sell out the communities that we represent. We're not prepared to sell out their future. And we believe that ultimately the people must have the final say on Brexit, which actually only the Labour Party is offering. Today is an historic day for Parliament, because it said it will not be blackmailed by a Prime Minister who is apparently prepared once again to defy a law passed by this Parliament. I invite him to think very carefully about the remarks he just made about refusing, apparently, to apply for the extension which the EU Number 2 Act requires him to do.
Well, to make sense of it for us, our correspondent Rob Watson in Westminster. So first, what was in that amendment and what's likely to happen now?
The amendment basically said that Parliament withholds withdrawal of its approval of the deal that Mr Johnson negotiated with the European Union last week, unless and until all of the necessary legislation is enacted and to turn that agreement into law and to make sure that there wasn't a no-deal Brexit. So what happens now? I mean, it seems to me there are three broad possibilities. I mean, the first is that Parliament does in fact pass the necessary legislation by the 31st of October and Britain leaves then, as Mr Johnson promised and as previously extended by the European Union. I mean, the second possibility is that Parliament does pass the legislation needed to get this deal done, but that it takes longer than October 31st, and that possibly MPs try to add other things to it, such as having another referendum, or that in the future relationship after Britain leaves the EU it should be in a customs union, whatever. The third sort of broad possible outcome is that essentially government and opposition parties alike agree that things simply cannot go on like this, and that there is a general election or a second referendum or both.
And what might we expect him to actually say to his European partners, who will have been watching this quite closely?
Well, part of what Mr Johnson says to his European partners is set down in law. I mean, the letter that has to be written to the EU was set out by Parliament. It's quite simple. It's Mr Johnson has to write asking the European Union for a delay to the Brexit process until January the 31st, or before that, should Parliament agree to a deal. So that extension could be terminated earlier. Now, Mr Johnson and Downing Street sources have talked about him not to negotiate, the possibility of him maybe sending a second letter saying, I don't approve of having to do this. I mean, at this point, we don't know. What we know is what the law says, and that is a rather specific short letter to the European Union asking for an extension.
Our correspondent Rob Watson with Jackie Leonard. Let's get a view from Europe on the matter now. The German MEP Katharina Barley is one of the European Parliament's vice presidents. My colleague Julian Marshall asked her if Boris Johnson got it right when he said that everyone in Britain and the EU is fed up with delays and wants Brexit done.
Well, who is not fed up with all of this, to be honest? I think public in Britain as well as in the rest of the European Union, everybody is fed up with it. Politicians are too. But I think that is not a political category. I said it before, our great-grandchildren will look upon what we have done now. And I think it's neither a matter of time nor a matter of personal feelings. It's about getting it right.
And getting it right means agreeing to another extension if that becomes necessary?
I think this is the point. Historically, it won't matter if this happens on the 31st of October or on the 4th of November or on the 2nd of January. I'd rather have something that is sensible with a bit of time than to rush through it and in the end have a result that is not as satisfying for one side or even for both.
But I don't want to prejudge the outcome of the parliamentary session today, but we could be back to where Theresa May was, with her constantly asking for an extension from the European Union and being unable to get a parliamentary majority for the deal that she had concluded with the EU.
Well, that's the irony of it, of course. Boris Johnson having criticised Theresa May all the way and now finding himself in a very similar situation. Even if we see another delay, it could still be that the deal stays on the table. So I think this is something worth discussing. We in the European Parliament need to discuss about some details too.
The agreement does envisage, in terms of the political declaration, a much looser relationship between the UK and the EU than was envisaged in Theresa May's deal. Is that a source of concern to you?
Well, I regret that, because I think that we still are stronger the closer we stay together, and the more we can face, for example, Donald Trump and the USA or China. But of course, it is one form of getting this Brexit on the way. And in the end, it's a decision by the British people.
And that was the German MEP Katharina Barley talking to Julian Marshall just before MPs withheld their approval for Boris Johnson's Brexit deal. Let's leave the politicians aside now. Tens of thousands of protesters from across Britain are marching in central London to call for a final say on Boris Johnson's new Brexit deal. These people told us why.
please think about the future of the country. It's fairly clear what's going on. It's not going to be good for the country at all.
I'm ashamed. I am ashamed of the UK at the moment. So I'm here to support this because what's going on in the UK just distresses me so much. For the young people.
Well, I'm a European citizen and I've just felt lost for the last 3 years, not knowing if you're still welcome in this country or not.
Our correspondent Dan Johnson was at the march.
The organisers are claiming maybe as many as a million people. Certainly they say hundreds of thousands, and I think we can fairly confidently say there are at least tens of thousands of people on the streets of London today. Parliament Square is absolutely packed, and there have been some pretty heavy downpours during the afternoon. People have stood there through the rain, listening to speeches, watching videos and messages on a big screen, and trying to get their message heard directly in Parliament. The people on the stage have been updating them on what's actually been happening in Parliament and saying at certain moments, right, they're about to go and vote, let them hear your message. So there's certainly been a loud chorus of opinion on the streets of London right outside Parliament, and they think, having heard that news about the Letwin Amendment passing, they think they're having an effect, they think they're winning, so that certainly buoyed them up through the afternoon.
Tell us about the reaction to that.
Oh, they were absolutely overjoyed with that. There seems to be a real strength of opinion and a real motivation and a sense that they feel their message is getting across. And there certainly seems to be a sense that the message is changing a bit, is hardening. This is not just a campaign for another referendum for the sake of having another referendum or because they think the first one wasn't run fairly, although that is part of it. The rally here, as the speech has started with the message that they think the Leave campaign won by telling lies. But you definitely get the sense that this is now more of a movement to stop Brexit. That has been the clear message from some people who have addressed this crowd, that they are now doing whatever they can to make sure that Brexit doesn't proceed any further. And they now see a people's vote, a second referendum, as a way to achieving that.
They genuinely think that at this point, at this stage, just weeks before Brexit was supposed to happen, that we still might have a second referendum.
When you start getting into the detail of that with people about exactly how that would work, what the timing would be, that's where things get more confusing and more difficult. Clearly, if there were to be a referendum, that would take time to organise. So people don't really seem to have a clear answer of exactly what the timetable would be. But that's why they were so positive to the news that the Oliver Letwin amendment had succeeded, because that effectively thought they meant a bit more of a delay, possibly more time to do other things to try to stop Brexit. But this is a huge crowd of people from right across this country and other countries as well. There are Irish flags and other European flags in amongst that colourful crowd. Some strong language, some expletives at being openly banded around. So people really are determined and say that they will do whatever it takes now. And they're not really hiding the fact that they want another referendum with the intent to stop Brexit altogether, to try to reverse the process as far as it's even gone.
Our correspondent Dan Johnson. Now, while many thousands of people were at that march through central London campaigning for a second referendum, it should be pointed out this is an issue that divides the country, and there are many others who insist the original 2016 referendum result must be put into effect. Our correspondent Tom Barton has been to Whitley Bay in the northeast of England to talk to voters there.
On Whitley Bay seafront, in front of the ornate dome of the iconic Spanish city, the tide is rolling in. Here in North Tyneside, voters almost reflected the national picture at the referendum in 2016. 53% voted to leave. Among the dog walkers taking in the sea air, Peter Dickinson is looking ahead to Super Saturday with a familiar sense of resignation.
Come up with some sort of conclusions is really what I'd like them to do. If they can come up with a conclusion, I will live whatever that conclusion is. If they put it on the fudge again, I really just don't know what I would do.
That's a view shared at pickup time at nearby Little Acorns Nursery.
I suppose the hope would be that they would have an idea of what's going to happen next. Many questions have gone unanswered for such a long time. So hopefully a plan to move forward one way or another would be ideal.
Just something that breaks the deadlock.
Absolutely. I think people need some clear answers just to ascertain where next and certainly what it's going to look like.
Mash, banana, mash, mash, banana.
But the nursery's owner, Emma Smith, worries that if politicians share that frustration, the concerns of Remain voters like her could be forgotten.
I feel like all the politicians are getting really fed up with Brexit. What I want the politicians to be looking at is not just giving up and just going for the deal because they're fed up. I want to hear them actually fighting for the people that voted for Remain as well, and I'm one of them.
Can we get 2 fish and chips, please?
Yes.
But picking up his fish supper at the beach cafe, it's a different story for lifelong Labour supporter and Brexit voter Andy Wildsmith-Patterson.
I think the crux of the problem is they're not voting with the electorate, they're voting with their own sort of morals, whatever they think is best for the country, and I don't think that is what they should be doing. They should be voting in line with what the electorate voted.
So when it comes to Super Saturday, do you think MPs will do, from your perspective, the right thing?
I really don't think they'll vote it through. It will be another delay. I would love to think that he would have the bottle just not to send the letter to extend Brexit and that the country would keep him out of prison.
Andy Wildsmith-Patterson ending that report from our correspondent Tom Barton. And with that view from the northeast of England, we say goodbye for now. I'll have another edition of the Global News podcast for you to download in a few hours' time. And if you'd like to comment on this special edition on Brexit, do drop us an email. The address is globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. My name's Andrew Peach. Thank you for listening. And until next time, goodbye.